Out of the companion's direct view, around the curve of the sideshow trailers, Jack once again had his head thrust through the bars of the mountain lion's cage. That great hot tongue was lovingly washing his face and neck. The pale ruby-eyed youth had few words to describe even the simplest moments of his violent, tragic life. For him, things were good or they were bad. He was happy or he wasn't, hungry or not, loaded or reloading. The complexity of his feelings at that moment was impossible to translate into a neat black or white duality. Only the lion understood what he felt, and that was because he and the lion shared everything without words. Jack pushed back from the bars and wiped the viscous slobber from his cheek with the back of his forearm. He took in the enormity of dense, soft beige fur, the long lashing tail as big around as his bicep, the fat, black-fringed ears rounded beautifully at the tips. Jutting from the sides of the creature's massive neck was the pair of curving, pointed horns that served to protect the throat. The canine fangs were longer than even Ryan's panga. Its claws were cruel black gut hooks, fully extended in pleasure now, cutting shallow, bright grooves into the steel floor of its cage. The smell of meat breath and musk gusted over Jack's pale face. He couldn't explain how the creature's thoughts and emotions came into his head, or how he knew that likewise the lion experienced what he experienced. It was as if an invisible tunnel connected the two, and through it ran a torrent of exquisite tenderness. The albino gripped the bars again and stared into the beast's huge yellow eyes. The tremendous heat given off by its body blasted him like a black basalt boulder sitting in the midday sun.
You free soon. Damn, we hunt.
After their meeting broke up, Dean went looking for Lilu Bunny. He found her standing in front of one of the sideshow cages.
Hi, Lilu.
Hi, Dean.
From the light in the girl's eyes, she seemed real glad to see him. She'd put a crown of fresh daisies in her shining hair.
What are you doing?
Just looking at this one.
The painted nameplate on the bars read, Balduna, the two-headed scaly. The male mutant sported a pair of heads that sprouted side by side in the middle of its wide shoulders, which seemed to stoop from their combined weight. One head was full-sized. It looked maybe 40 years old. Its coarse, gray-blonde hair was matted and greasy, its face florid, beardless, and unlined. Bloodshot eyes glowered at them from beneath a heavy, browless ridge of bone. The other head was a baby's, small, bald, and perched on a short neck. Its skin was flushed with infantile frustration. The eyes on the little head were black and glittered behind squinty, puffy eyelids. The scaly was stripped to the waist. It had a massive torso, and there were big muscles under the layers of sagging fat. As it moved slightly, the angled light caught the rows of tiny scales that covered its skin, giving it an iridescent, grayish cast. The cage was fouled by excrement and urine. Brown mounds of it lay clumped along the cage's rear wall. Clouds of flies buzzed amid the miasma.
Do you think they like each other?
You mean the two heads?
Uh-huh. They don't look like they like each other at all.
Dean examined the creature. It was true. The baby head was scowling. The normal head was scowling. They were glancing sidelong at each other out of the corners of their nearest eyes, which were separated by no more than 8 inches.
I wonder if they both get hungry at the same time. Do you think if one head eats, the other one gets full?
If one has to pee, does the other one too?
Pipsqueak here gets hungry every 4 hours. Wakes me up in the middle of the night with his squalling. And then thanks me by pissing and shitting in my pants. A pain in the ass like you wouldn't believe. I'd have had someone take an axe and chop him off years ago, but the shock apparently would chill me too. The goddamn nervous systems are all grown together.
Dean and Lilu stood there flat-footed, stunned that the thing could actually talk and make sense.
Close your mouths. You're gonna catch flies. And you know where they've been.
When neither child said anything, the creature became even more irritated.
What are you two looking so surprised for? Just because my captors keep me sitting in my own shit and feed me with a shovel, you think I'm some kind of wild animal?
Balduna held up its powerful, flab-encased arms and let the sunlight play on the rows of tiny scales.
My brain isn't mutated, just my skin.
Dean couldn't help but glance at the baby head, which was like a huge, purpling mushroom springing from its shoulder. The scaly noticed what he was looking at.
Of course, there's the other head, but that's something that could have happened to anyone, even you, under the right conditions.
The young Carter wondered if Balduna knew about the mass chilling. The only way it could keep from knowing was if the cage was covered up during the murdering and burial. As one of the roustabouts came down the line of cages toward them, the scaly shut up and slumped into a sullen slouch.
Keep a good ways back from them bars, you two. That lizard skin piece of nuke shit ripped the arm off a kid in Perdition. Sat there neat in front of the parents, while the poor little critter bled himself to death.
Dean looked at the creature, who shrugged sheepishly as if to say, "Ah, well, these things happen." The roustabout quickly moved on.
You're a mean thing to have done that to a child. A cruel, mean thing.
And your point is?
Dean should put a 9mm in the middle of your big, ugly face. Not the baby's, though. It's kind of cute the way it fusses. And it can't talk.
The scaly's double sets of eyes turned on young Carter. It gripped the bars in both hands.
Well, Deanie boy, you're gonna do it or what? Shit and get off the pot.
The mocking contempt in the mutant duet riled Dean. He didn't like the idea of being insulted, especially in front of Lilu Bunny. He drew himself up to his full height, then brought the high power out of hip leather in a blue steel blur. He raked the hand blaster's sight across the scaly's exposed knuckles. It quickly jumped back to the rear of his cage. He raged and hopped in pain, clutching his damaged hand.
I'll get you for that, you little bedwetter! See if I don't! I'll eat the flesh from your bones!
Oh, shut up! Can't you see you're scaring the baby head?
Yeah!
Lilu slipped her thin arm in Dean's as he reholstered the gun.
Come on, Dean. Let's go look at some of the other cages.
Dean liked her a lot, he realized with a start. He liked how she looked at him, as if he were her hero. And she wasn't any sort of quivery-lipped girl either, the kind who was afraid of spiders and sorrow. Lilu was a little girl, but Dean could tell she was as hard as flint. And in a strange way, she reminded him of Christy. It was something about her certainty, something in the way she carried herself. He could tell even now that she was going to grow up to be a stunningly beautiful woman. Strong, proud, compassionate, honest. It made him feel absolutely wonderful to be looked up to by her. It made him want to protect her. As they walked to the next cage, he started to think about the tent and what was going to happen inside. It made his face go dark with worry. He wanted to tell the girl to skip the performance altogether, to just go someplace else and hide. But he knew he couldn't do it. Everything depended on secrecy and surprise. Though he instinctively trusted her with his life, he couldn't place the lives of the companions in her hands, which left him only one alternative.
Hey, Lilu, where are you going to sit for the show?
Dunno. Anywhere I can, I guess.
Would you sit next to me and my dad if I asked you to?
Are you asking me to?
Yeah, I want to watch the show with you.
That'll make it extra good.